our meeting with the Serenity Prayer.
God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Talofa lava, kia ora ana, ma loelelei, whakalofa lahi atu, bulavinaka, taloha ni, and warm Pacific greetings to our listeners who have tuned in with us today. Welcome to AA on Air, Island Styles. My name is Yokobetta. I'm Samoan and I'm an alcoholic, and tonight I will chair our meeting. But before I do that, I will read the AA preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution, does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. In the studio today, I have with me Pacific brothers and sisters who will share their stories as recovered alcoholics. They will share with us what they used to be like, what happened to them, and what they are like today as a result of the recovery program of Alcoholics Anonymous. Before we start with the sharing, I will read a section from the book of Alcoholics Anonymous. Most of us refer to this book as the Big Book, which is the authorized textbook used to help alcoholics to recover from alcoholism and to live and to enjoy our lives. And I'll read from the doctor's opinion. Men and women drink essentially because they like the effect produced by alcohol. The sensation is so elusive that while they admit it is injurious, they cannot, after a time, differentiate the true from the false. To them, their alcoholic life seems the only normal one. They are restless, irritable, and discontented unless they can again experience the sense of ease and comfort which comes at once by taking a few drinks. Drinks which they see others taking with impunity. After they have succumbed to the desire again, as so many do, the phenomenon of craving develops. They pass through the well-known stages of a spree, emerging remorseful, with a firm resolution not to drink again. This is repeated over and over, and unless this person can experience an entire psychic change, there is very little hope of his recovery. Dr. William D. Silkworth. I will now ask our brothers and sisters to share, and I'll ask Seotatia to open up with our sharing.
Talofa, my name is Seotatia, and I'm an alcoholic. The first time I realised I was an alcoholic was many years ago when I was 18 years of age. I'm the youngest child of eight, Catholic family. Brought up well but very strict, and alcoholism was all around me, and I thought it was the normal thing to do, to go out and have a good night and not remember the next day, unfortunately. And this went on for many years later. I was introduced to alcoholism, I think, from the age of three, when I saw whiskey glasses in the house at the dinner table, in the lounge, and I could see the effects of my parents, my brothers and sisters, my aunts and uncles, how they behaved before and after. And I thought to myself, well, this is probably a good way for me to escape, because I didn't feel I could fit in. It was hard for me to fit in into my family as well as into school. Outside activities, I was interested in sport as well as modelling and dancing at a very young age, and of course it took me out socially, and again I was surrounded by alcoholism, and it took me to a lot of places that were very dark and dangerous, and I was introduced to the rooms in my 30s, and I came in and I was very scared. I didn't think it was for me because I thought, well, I looked at the rooms and thought that that's for you and not for me. And so I went out into the big wide world again and got drunk and lost and into those dark and deep dangerous places. And finally I found my way back. Fortunately, I'm nearly 4 years sober in October, and these rooms, AA, they're my family. They're my real family I know and trust, and I feel I can come to, and I feel I belong. And that's so important for me as a person, as an individual, to come to a place where I can be true to myself and to my fellowship members. And if I can share this with another alcoholic and help them to be well. I also want to mention that I am Samoan, New Zealand-born Samoan. My mum and dad were born in Upolo, Apia, and I was born in Auckland, New Zealand. It was really hard to admit to myself that I was an alcoholic, because I was living in denial for a very, very long time. It was hard for me to look in the mirror and admit who I was. I was running away from the truth for a very long time. And to admit that was so hard. It was a struggle on a daily basis just to say, I'm an alcoholic. Now I can say that with pride. And I really go out with arms open and a big smile when I think I can go out and help someone. If I could help anyone just to sit down and tell my story and just lift them for a while, just for that moment, and just to remind them all it takes is one day at a time. And to find a sponsor that you know and trust and you can work with, those 12 steps and my survival techniques, they keep me alive, because I wouldn't be here without AA. AA is my survival kit, and without it, I wouldn't be on this planet. There's just no way. Many times I could have killed myself. Many times I should have been dead. But I, through the grace of God, he has kept me here. So this is my duty as a person, as a Pacific Islander. I'm here to help you. So if you're listening, please reach out, because we're here to help. Whawhtai lawa.
Thank you, Siltatia. I will now ask Galo, will you share your experience, strength and hope with our listeners?
Whawhtai lawa. Tōna whalawa, my name is Galo. I'm alcoholic. I'm first generation New Zealand born Samoan, and I'm grateful to be here today. And I came to know about AA through a friend who we used to drink together and do other things together, and she invited me along to a meeting. And I remember at that early point in the meeting, the first thing I heard was an offer. An offer was made that night, and the offer was for a better way to live and a better life. And as I sat there and listened to the sharing and what people were saying, you know, it felt like a setup, that these people were actually talking about me. I could hear I understood straight away what they were talking about, because, you know, that was really familiar, because that was the way I lived. And and there was that immediate connection with the ones that were sharing at that first meeting. I couldn't admit at that time that I was an alcoholic, but in my heart of hearts I knew that I was. And it took me a couple of meetings, and I kept coming back to the meetings, and it was all because of this offer of a better life. And I just kept hearing just people's stories, and they really spoke to my heart, because, you know, buried inside me, underneath all the alcohol and the other substance abuse and things like that, was, I guess, the real Carl. And it took me a little while to, like, get clear and for for the fog to lift and for me to understand that I have this problem, this disease called alcoholism. And this was something that went, you know, against the grain and everything in me. I couldn't admit that I had this disease. I didn't understand it. I didn't get a grasp of it, but I just kept coming back to these meetings and learning more and more about me. And as it unfolded and, you know, knowledge of this disease, I began to take on and understand more and more about my disease and where it had taken me, which was one foot in the grave and one foot out. And thankfully that I'd found something that was real and something I could really hold on to. You know, I've tried a lot of things to try and get some peace in my life. And, you know, I went to church and did the church thing. And I realized today that, you know, my alcoholism and my addiction was untreated at that stage. And there was the reality of my disease was not known by myself. You know, other people were telling me that I had this problem drinking, but I just couldn't see it myself, you know. And so I kept coming back to these meetings and I realized slowly but surely, you know, that the message of AA was getting through, and all I had to do was have that desire to stop, you know. And although I stopped, my mind, my brain was just going crazy. I didn't know, you know, up from down or what, but, you know, just the relationships that were built with the fellowship and getting to know people that have walked my walk and, you know, and just have travelled along in this journey of recovery. And that's what was happening to me. I didn't realise it at the time, but I was recovering. You know, I was getting back that which was lost. And you know, the Carl that was held captive by the alcohol and the substances, that person was starting to re-emerge, you know. And it's a good thing. You know, people, I was starting to connect with people in a real way. And, you know, it was for no selfish gain on anyone's part or anything. Everything that's been given to me in the rooms of AA have been given to me freely, you know. And it's me accepting those things that have been given to me, a lot of things that are suggested to do, you know, and the support and just the love of the fellowship, which has been, you know, just amazing, you know. Sealed, you know, touched on just about the connection there and about the real family. And I feel the same way, that I've found a real family in the rooms of AA. You know, these people, they love me, you know, and they ask nothing of me, but just that I keep coming back. And it's been like the best invitation that I've ever had. I'm slowly coming up to my first year sober, and I'm 5 weeks off that point in my life, and it's been the absolute best year of my life. When I was still active in my alcoholism, I remember, you know, just the real dark periods of time that went by, and the waste, just the total waste of life. And I also remember a lot of pain, a lot of anger, a lot of violence. And I remember hurting a lot of people that really loved me, you know, namely my parents, my brothers and sisters, and they worried about me. I remember my mum saying that they used to pray for me, you know, every night when I used to go out and be all around town, and not even thinking about them, you know, not even worrying about, you know, what, who's doing what and what's happening with, you know, my brother and sister's lives. And, you know, I'm really sorry. You know, I have such a beautiful family and they mean everything to me. And I realised today, you know, if it had not been for the rooms and the program and the what's been given to me in these rooms, I wouldn't see these things today. You know, I'd still be clouded, I'd still be absolutely drunk and disorderly, probably locked up, more likely in jail or dead. You know, and this was the biggest fear for my family. And, I'm just so grateful. I'm a grateful alcoholic today for this program. And it's, you know, it is that serious. I can't stress enough how serious it is. You know, I'm just beside myself when I think about it sometimes. You know, all I can do is cry. And recovery's given me a lot. You know, it's given me my life back. It's bringing my family back to me, my kids. And, you know, it's just the best thing that I've ever done. And I'm thankful and grateful today. And I want to stop there.
Thank you, Gallo, for sharing with us. I'm now going to ask Rose to conclude our sharing.
Mitaki, Peter, my name is Rose. I'm a first-generation New Zealand-born Cook Island papa'a. My Pākehā name is Rose and my Cook Island name is Yokopita, but I am an alcoholic. I feel very nervous to share in this Pacifica meeting because of my Pacifica culture and our, you know, I came here, I did speak with my family and sought permission. And their message was, if this helps another alcoholic or someone who has a problem with drinking, then I had their full support. But as the previous speakers have shared, Alcoholics Anonymous is another whānau for me. This is my second time around in the rooms. And when I first came in, and I've shared this before many times, is that I saw a difference. You know, as a child, I was a Pacific Islander at home, but when I went to school and lived, you know, walked out those doors, I was a papa'a, and I had to learn to walk in that world. In my childhood, you know, alcohol was all around me. I learnt how to keep secrets. I learnt what alcohol did to adults until eventually I found the relief in that first drink, and I kept going back to that. I kept going back to the alcohol because it felt like it fixed my insides. You know, when I took a drink, all of my culture just left me, you know, all of that, the mana, the respect. But I couldn't stop. I couldn't stop. I didn't know how. I didn't know where to go, what to do. And so I would live my life outside there, and then when I got home, I would have that drink and I would feel better. You know, there's members who share that. When I first started drinking, there were a lot of good times, and there was only a little bit of the bad times. But as I grew, as I drank more, it became more bad times than good times. But I couldn't stop. I tried many things. When I walked into the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous the first time, I saw a difference. I saw another environment where I would have to maybe pretend more. And I thought,
I would have to go home and my family would help me. My family will fix me. I tried that, and things just got progressively worse until my family would no longer speak to me. And as a Pacific person, that was my bottom line. That was my desperation, and I knew I had to do something else. I always thought my family would be there for me. I came back into the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous, and this time I sat down, I took a seat, and I listened. And I listened for the similarities, not the differences. I heard that other people there had problems with alcohol, but that they could recover, and that the solution was here. Through Alcoholics Anonymous, I learned to stay sober one day at a time. That's all they said. Come to meetings, don't pick up that first drink, and just take it day by day. Just last week, I was blessed to have celebrated my second year of sobriety, something I thought I would never do. But as previously said, you know, taking it one day at a time, you know, it just adds up. But I think the most amazing gift that I've been given is that I've come to believe in a God of my understanding. As a child, I was sent to church, went to Bible study, but I didn't get the gift of spirit until I came into this program, until I put that alcohol down. Today, I have a God of my own understanding. I have people in the fellowship who love me. They loved me until I could love myself. Today I can spend time with my family and feel present with them. You know, when I first started this journey, I was about 30 or so, and I tried reading books. I tried going to see other people. I wanted it to be anything but the alcohol. And I struggled. And then my father passed away. And when he passed away, I thought, that's it for me. That's it. I'm either going to go one way or the other. And I thought I might drink myself to death. And it was in that moment that I decided I wanted to live. But then I realized I didn't know how. The rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous, like I said, loved me until I could love myself, and have shown me how to live a life beyond my wildest dreams. To be able to just get up, go to work, being a functioning member of the society, to be a good sister, a good auntie, a good mother. Those are the sort of gifts that I never thought I would appreciate or want, or ever thought I could have. I'm very grateful to the Fellowship of AA, which is why I come and I share my message on the radio waves as a shy, humble a Cook Island girl who never thought that I mattered or would be anything to anybody. Recently, I was able to fellowship with our Samoan contingent. And, you know, I say to people here, I sobered up in AA by going to meetings and fellowshipping with other, you know, members of Alcoholics Anonymous. And when we went to Samoa, it was, you know, there was only two meetings there a week. And I felt for our AA members over there. And so coming along on the airwaves, on the internet, carrying the message that actually we can recover. And that there is a place for people like us, because I've come to know that I have a disease of alcoholism. And when I pick up that first drink, I get this phenomenon of craving and then a mental obsession that I can't stop. I can't stop after one. So just for today, one day at a time, I stay away from that first drink
And I'm a very grateful member of Alcoholics Anonymous, and Metaki, thank you for asking me to share.
Thank you so much, Rose. And this brings us towards the end of our meeting. I'd like to say whaftai lava to Galo and Siltatia. Thank you for your courage and your inspiration. And thank you so much, Rose. Metaki to you for sharing your strength and your hope and with our listeners. If you think you have a problem with alcohol and you want help, you can phone 0800 AA Works, which will put you in contact with an AA member in your local area. For those who are listening, there are over 100 AA meetings each week within the Greater Auckland area. And for more information, you can log on to aa.org.nz. And before we close our meeting, as we usually do in our meetings of AA, we'll end with the Serenity Prayer.
God, grant us the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Bhakti Lava. You can hear this program again at planetaudio.org.nz/AA meeting on air.